Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in God's house and to feel His presence. David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." Amen. I mean, when we get together, we can do some things. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why it's important for everybody to be in the house of the Lord. And, the Bible tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even more so in these last days, because we need one another more now than we ever have. Amen. And David said, "I'm going to go to church. I'm glad when they said unto me, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.'" But he said, "I'm going to knock a few doors on my way, because it's better when we magnify the Lord together." Amen. Praise God. If you turn to Romans chapter 4, I want to preach from there. It's so good to see everyone. And I know sometimes on Sunday morning we're a little bit pressed for time. The preacher's not near as pressed for time as those that are listening. So we are always trying to be mindful of that. But I'm telling you, it is so good to be saved and to know that you're saved. I like a little story I read of this guy. He was coming into town and a young boy was sitting there, and he asked him, he said, where's Highway 20 at? And he said, I really don't know. And he said, "Well, this road here," he said, "where does it go?" And he said, I don't know. And he said, "You don't know much, do you?" He said, "I know I'm not lost." And really, in the big scheme of things in life, if you know you're not lost, then that's really the most important thing in life. I'm glad to be saved today, glad to be on my way to heaven. And I trust if you're in this service today and you're not sure that you're ready to go, man, I tell you, when I came through the back door of the church the night I got saved, I knew I was not ready to meet the Lord. But after I prayed and repented of my sins and asked the Lord to forgive me, I was just as sure I was saved when I walked out as I was sure I was lost when I walked in. Amen. And I'm glad that we have a know-so salvation. We can know we're saved today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Read there. It says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." I mean, he's able to see into the future, call those things that are not as though they were. "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Verse 21 says, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Amen. Aren't you glad God's able to perform what he promises? Amen. He has the will and the ability to perform what he promised. But in verse 18, it says, "Who against hope believed in hope." And so I'd like to preach for a little while this morning on hold on to hope. Amen. Hold on to hope. Heavenly Father, we praise you today. Thank you for this good congregation of people. Lord, I pray that you would give me the anointing for just a little while to speak your word. God, help us today. And God, I pray that your spirit would deal with hearts and lives, and we can have a glorious altar service. We'll thank you for it. We ask in Jesus' name. And so hope, this discouragement, the Lord made real to me one time about the dark cloud of discouragement that comes over our lives. And the Lord said, "I will try your faith, because I'm making something out of you that you don't know yet." But he said, "But I will never discourage you." When you feel that dark cloud, you know, that oppressive cloud that comes over, that is an attempt of the enemy to drive a wedge between you and your relationship with me. I mean, that's the enemy trying to cut off our supply line. That's why it's hard to get people to come to church, because that's where the supply is. And the devil knows it, so he tries to cut off people's supply line. And so hope, the experience of hope is victory over despair and discouragement. You know, there's adversity, there's danger. If there wasn't, there would be no need for hope. But a definition of hope could be something desired, but not yet obtained. It is the anticipation and desire to attain the needed goal. Hope will cause us to remain in fellowship with God and remain under the trial, the weight of the trial, until God brings His desired will and His desired purpose and accomplishes His holy will in our life. The first thing I'd like to say about hope this morning is hope is indispensable. I mean, hope of course, in Ephesians 2:12, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The worst condition that any human being could ever be in life is to be in this world without hope and without God. Amen. I read about a study of POWs that came back from, they were in Japan during World War II, and many of them lived, but some of them died, and so they were trying to find out why some of them came back and they were all right, and then some of them even died while they were there in those camps. And the conclusion that they came to was the ones that lived and made it out good were those that talked about what they were going to do when they got back. They talked about businesses that they wanted to start, homes they wanted to build, marriages that they wanted to see accomplished, in different things. The one common thread among all the survivors is that one day they felt like that they would step again on American soil and that they would be delivered there. Hope, amen, I'm telling you, it's indispensable. The Christian life is a life of hope, and a hopeless Christian is a contradiction of terms. Amen, we have a good hope this morning. Amen, I want to tell you, we need to hold on to hope. We need to hold on to hope for the church. And I trust that many of you will try to be back tonight. I really feel like God spoke in my heart about a message for the church. Amen. Here tonight, and I feel like God wants me to preach this morning, or I wouldn't. But we need to have faith in the future, because if we don't have any faith in the future, there'll be no power in the present. I mean, if we don't believe that God's going to move and that God's going to save, and the programs that you got going on are going to bring people in, we need to pray to that end and believe God to move. Amen. You know, hope is that believes the very best out of every situation until it has to believe something else. Amen. I want to tell you something. We need to have hope. It's indispensable. But the problem with hope, the second thing I like to say about it, is hope is invisible. That's the problem people have, you know. In Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And so hope here has an element of patience in it. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So in order to realize hope, we have to wait for it. In the text here, we know that Abraham did not wait. And we know what the circumstances were of that. Amen. It's easy to have hope in the beginning of a situation. I mean, when they first came to Abraham and said, you're going to have the promised son. I mean, I'm sure there was excitement. And he told Sarah, and I'm sure there was excitement. But when days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, and months turned into years, and Sarah's hair turned silver, amen, they began to wonder if God really meant what he said. I mean, I think about Noah when he went to his sons and told them, we're going to build an ark. It's going to save the human race from destruction. They probably were pretty fired up about it. Let's get started, Dad. Amen. But after 5, 10 years, 20 years, after 20 years, they probably woke up in the morning and looked at Noah like, what's going on? You know, like the young people do. Where's it at? And after 50 years, they said, are you sure you heard anything from God? But hope has an element of patience in it. I mean, David, when Samuel poured that horn of oil on him and anointed him king of Israel, I'm telling you, he probably was singing a little better that night. I mean, he probably played that harp a little more fervently and probably was happy in his soul. But brother, there came a time when he was in the cave and he was running from Saul and things wasn't going just like he wanted them to. There was a time when, you know, he had to have patience, the patience of hope. Amen. I want to tell you, sometimes if we're not careful, our faith is no stronger than what we can see. But true faith puts a trust in God even in the dark. Amen. When Paul was there in that ship and the Bible said he hadn't seen the sun or the moon or the stars in many days. Amen. I want to tell you something. He did what we need to do. He got down in the bottom of that boat and he prayed all the way through until he touched heaven. Amen. He came back up there and he said, I want to tell you, be of good cheer, men. God has spoken to my heart. Amen. He latched on to the promise of God. Amen. God brought him through when David was in Ziklag and the city was burned with fire and all the men around him wanted to stone him. The Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. That means the new hope started vibrating in his soul. He called on God and asked him if he should pursue. And the Lord told him, pursue and thou shalt surely recover all without fail. I mean, there Joseph was in prison for 8 years, but God brought him out and fulfilled the dreams that he gave him as a young man. There Caleb and Joshua wandered in the wilderness for 40 years with those that refused to enter into Canaan's land. But hope brought them out and set them on the other side of Jordan to inherit the promises of God. Amen. I want to tell you, when those exiled Israelites were in Babylonian captivity, amen. I mean, they were there by the Babylonian waters, could not find the chord to their song, nor remember the words in a strange land. It was God that came by and stirred the slumbering chords again and brought them out. Amen. I want to tell you, hope is indispensable. Hope is invisible. But I want to tell you something else about hope. It's invincible. You can't stop it. Amen. I want to tell you something. When you have hope in your soul and you put your faith in God, it's invincible. You cannot stop it. There is hope because God is the God of all hope. He's the God of new beginnings. When Adam and Eve need a new beginning, amen, I tell you, God had a promised redeemer. Amen. I tell you, when Moses, after he killed the Egyptian, he needed a new start, and God had a burning bush there with his name on it and spoke to his heart. Amen. I tell you, God, he speaks to our heart and gives us handfuls on purpose to let us know that we're on the right path. Amen. I read about Columbus and his voyage and all the men were going to, you know, they were about ready to mutiny and everything else and go back. But there were some birds that flew around his boat and he told him, he said, men, those are land birds right there. They're going home in the evening and we're going to follow them on in. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad for those handfuls of purpose? Amen. I tell you, before Israel crossed Jordan, they tasted of the grapes of Eschol. Why do you think Caleb and Joshua stayed with it so long, through 40 years, brother? I tell you what, they'd already tasted of the land, and that taste never left their mouth. Oh, glory to God. May every foretaste of glory divine inspire our hope and keep us going until we reach that eternal shore where God will wipe away all tears and sorrow and sighing. We'll flee away. My friend, there can be a light in the darkness. There can be a song in the night. There can be a voice in the silence. And there's a door of hope in the prison of doubt. Brother, I want to tell you something. That scarlet thread that was in Rahab's window has been called the rope of hope. Amen. I tell you, I'm thankful for the precious blood today. It gives us hope. Amen. God is called the God of all hope. The Bible tells us to rejoice in hope. There's a good hope through grace. It's a lively hope. Amen. And hope is a refuge of the soul. Amen. Oh, Titus tells us, looking for that blessed hope. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Why? We do not need to be moved away from this hope.
Amen. That's what it's talking about in Colossians. Amen. But hold on to hope firm unto the end, because God has a Passover for every Egyptian bondage that we face. He has a pillar of fire by night for every dark cloud of discouragement. He has a pillar of cloud by day to give us the comfort from the heat that threatens to burn us out of existence. He has an ark of safety for every flood of judgment. And he has a way of escape from every fiery furnace. David could say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. It said in the text that he believed in hope against hope. That means that spiritual hope can take place when natural hope is gone. He didn't have hope because of his circumstances. He didn't see anything happening. But the Bible says he believed in hope against hope. He believed what God said, rather than what his circumstances were telling him. Amen. Oh, we need to believe God. He believed in hope against hope. Hebrews 6:19 says, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered into that within the veil. Will the forerunners for us entered even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the anchor of hope, friend? Amen. I'm glad that we can, our vessels can be held steady in the storm by the anchor of hope. I know that we're holding on to that anchor, but while we're holding on to it, it's holding on to us. Amen. The ship may be battered, but the anchor still holds. The anchor of hope is sure and steadfast. That means that God has both the will and the ability to keep us. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, we've not anchored in the shifting sands of this world. The Bible says the forerunner is taking the anchor within the veil. We're anchored in heaven's shore today. Amen. Aren't you glad that we're not anchored in the changing, shifting sands of this world? Friend, I want to tell you, we're not anchored at a standstill. We're taking in cable every day. And I tell you, we're closer home than we've ever been before. Amen. Oh, I'm glad for the hope that we have. The Bible talks about Jesus being a forerunner. Forerunner is an interesting term. Forerunner was a scouting term. It was one of the, they'd send a scout ahead of the main group. And that scout would go and secure the area where they were going to. He'd set up their tent and he'd get ready for those that were preparing to come after him. I mean, it was a sailor's term. Sometimes they would take a small vessel and they would put the anchor in the smaller vessel so it could go up into the more shallow waters and drop anchor for the larger vessel. It was the forerunner. Amen. But I want to tell you, it was a climber's term. And when they would be ascending some really rough terrain and going to the summit, they would let the best climber go ahead. And he'd carry that big grappling hook with him, and he would climb and he would ascend up to the summit, and then he would hang that in the biggest rock he could find, and he'd drop the line back down. And bless me when I was studying this, because they called it the lifeline. Amen. I want to tell you something. I'm glad that Jesus Christ had ascended Mount Calvary, brother. Amen. He bled and died for you and I. Amen. But he took that anchor and he put it in heaven. Soul, he dropped back down the lifeline. And can I tell you this morning, if you'll grab a hold of the lifeline, friend, you can have a new hope vibrating in your soul today. You can have a new feelings about amen, the condition that you're in. If you'll grab a hold of the lifeline, amen, they knew that you could climb a lot faster in this life. If you'll grab a hold of the lifeline, amen, I'm telling you, the Bible speaks of the fact that there is a door of hope in the valley of Achor. Amen. A door of hope. Amen. I'm telling you, a door. It speaks of an opportunity. But it also speaks of a responsibility. Amen. An open door is of no value unless we pass through it. I'm glad the Lord said, behold, I set before thee an open door. Amen. I'm telling you, no man can shut it. No man opened it. You got an opportunity to walk through the door of hope today. Amen. Let me tell you what we need to realize today. And the reason we can have hope is because God's able to turn things around. God's able to help us. I mean, you can give him a Jacob that means deceiver, and he can go and he can pray through at Peniel and he become Israel, a prince with God. I mean, you can give him an apostle Peter there who denied him there at the foot of the cross and send him to Pentecost, and the Lord can change his life, amen, and make a great apostle out of him, to preach the gospel, the apostle Paul. I mean, he can be there breathing out threatenings, amen, against the church, but the Lord can come by and change his heart, and make a great gospel preacher out of him. Why? Because God's able to turn things around. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Is there a situation facing you that's brought you to the place that you really don't know how it's going to turn out? I'm here this morning to tell you to hold on to hope. Believe God for the best possible outcome. Amen. Trust him. Amen. I want to tell you something. What you have in your hand right now is not as important as what you do with what you got left. Amen. God can take what you got left and he can turn it around and make something out of your heart and life. I know that after some severe losses in life, and there have been some severe losses, people have lost their companions. People have lost their children. I pastored people that, you know, there were some severe losses in their life, and they say, you know, Brother Mike, it's never going to be the same. And I know that it may never be the same. Amen. But it can be better than it is if you put your hope and trust in God. Amen. I want to tell you, God can take our circumstances and make them better. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you because he's able to turn it around. Amen. One of the things that I really feel like the Lord dealt with me about, you know, is that in our lives, we have circumstances and God wants control of those circumstances. You see, the devil's always trying to wrestle control of the circumstances of life away from us so he can get those circumstances and he can use them as a baseball bat. I'm sure the devil did that to Abraham. Look, God promised you this promised son. He's not here. Where is he at? Pressure, pressure, pressure every day. That's the way the devil does. He tries to take our circumstances and he tries to take him out of the control, out and under the control of God and put them in his control so he can use them against us. But God wants us to make sure that we leave our circumstances in his hands. And maybe it could be that at the altar of prayer, we need to just say, God, I've done everything I can in this situation. I did the best I could. Probably if I'd go back and, you know, had some things to do over, wouldn't we all do some things over? But I want to tell you, sometimes you just have to leave things in the hands of God and believe him to work it out. Amen. If somebody come to the piano, I'm getting ready to close here in a minute. But I want you to know that God's able to turn things around. You know, here today, the people they're taking DNA and they're trying to map out everybody's life. Not only are they trying to map out everybody's life, you know, but they're trying to tell them that they can never change. You know, that the buzzword is hardwired. You're hardwired for that. You know, in other words, you know, like, my grandfather, he drank a lot. And my dad, he drank a lot. And they said, you know, you're hardwired for that. You can't change it. And, you know, when I got to be a teenager, brother, it looked like the scientists might be right. But one night in an old-fashioned church service, man, I got in a 12-step program. That's about how many steps it took me to get to the altar. Man. And I got a blood transfusion. And God turned it around. I mean, you know, God's able to turn things around for you, friend. You say, man, brother, I've had a struggle. Hey, man, I want to tell you, sometimes you just need to quit struggling. Just lay it over in the hands of the Lord. Say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do everything I know to do right now. I mean, friend, there's hope in this life because God's able to turn it around. You see, a lot of things, the scientists, they don't never figure in God. And they fail to figure in that we have a decision. I mean, that prodigal son, he was in the hog pen and he was hemmed in on every side. The only problem was is the devil gave him enough room to turn around. And that's all that he needed. He just needed enough room to turn around. You know that all you need this morning is just enough room to turn around. Amen. I'm telling you, God can change your situation. Friend, we need to understand that the happiness of the wicked is only momentary and their misery is endless. We have only one soul, and when we leave this world, we'll never return. Amen. I'm telling you, heaven could be standing on the balcony looking over and wondering what decision we're going to make right here in this service this morning. Amen. The angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that repents, brother. Why? Because they know that that soul with that decision can change their eternal destiny. Amen. Oh, glory to God. God's able to turn it around. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? You're here and you feel like that God is dealing with your heart. Oh, friend, the lifeline is being extended here today. I want you to grab a hold of that lifeline. You're here and you're not sure that you're ready to meet the Lord. I'd like for you to step out of where you're standing right now. Come on down to this altar of prayer and yield your life to the Lord and get a hold of the lifeline this morning. Amen. You can make it to the top of the mountain that you're climbing if you'll get a hold of the lifeline. Friend, I really feel like this morning that somebody needs to step out from where they're standing. Amen. If you're standing by somebody that needs this hope, tell them you'll pray with them. Come on down and pray with them this morning. Amen. I want to tell you something. God is here to turn your life around. God is here to extend the lifeline to you. That door of hope is open, my friend. Amen. Don't let it close on you. Amen. Step through it right now. Hear this morning. God's here dealing with your heart. You know that you need to make some commitments to the Lord. Would you come? Would you come down at altar prayer? Amen. And ask God to help you right now. Get a hold of the lifeline, friend. Is there one that would come and say, amen, I want to change in my life. I want the Lord to work in my heart. Amen. Oh, friend, don't leave here today without getting a hold of the lifeline. Let him touch your life. Oh, do you feel that presence of the Spirit of God dealing with you, saying, that preacher's right. You need to go on up there and pray. Amen. I tell you, I felt it that night that I got saved. Amen. It's almost been 30 years ago now. Amen. Oh, but you're feeling it here this morning, and you know you need to come. Would you come? Would you come and let the Lord have His way in your life? Amen. Oh, glory to God. How about it, saints of God? Feel new hope vibrating in your soul. Feel like maybe there's some things you need to leave in the hands of God. You want to hold on to hope this morning. I'd like everybody would. Let's come. Let's pray and let's ask God to help us. And if you're in this service this morning and you're not sure that you're ready to meet the Lord, I want you to come too and pray and ask Him to help you. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Let the Lord have His way in your life today. Let Him touch you. Amen. You'll never be sorry that you turned your life over to the Lord. Amen.